Blog Talk Radio.
You're now listening to the Talking Pictures Podcast, broadcasting from sunny Orange County, California. Filmmaker, journalist, and film historian, Paul Booth.
Aloha and welcome to Talking Pictures. I'm your host, Paul Booth. So thankful and grateful to be here today. This is always my favorite time because I get to talk movies, and we're doing part two of our six-part series, which we've titled this series Take Two, which I selected six films and then asked friends, film buffs, some people are industry people, to come on and give their opinion so you don't just have my review. So you can go into the archives and get my take on this film, but today it's going to be about the guests. We did Creed. Today's going to be The Martian. Tomorrow we have The Revenant. Excuse me. Thursday we have Star Wars. Friday we have Steve Jobs. And we're working on Spotlight. Another great thing about this series that I'm very proud of is that our guest reviewers will be from Hawaii, Seattle, Los Angeles, Mississippi, and Boston. So we're bringing you opinions and thoughts from all parts of the country to show that we all love films, especially with the controversy that's been surrounding the Oscars, that this is really just about people are people, and people love movies, and that's really all that should matter at the end of the day. I'm going to bring in my caller right now. Welcome to the show, Aaron. How's it going?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm doing fantastic. It's a beautiful, sunny Orange County day.
Well, I can't say the same here in Seattle. it's a typical gray, rainy day.
Okay. The standard or the cliche that we all get told if we didn't grow up there.
Absolutely.
Well, we first off want to thank you. I just told the audience that with this series where we've been fortunate enough to find people from Hawaii to Boston and Mississippi to Seattle. So we're going to be bringing opinions from around the country, especially with we're not going to dive into it, but especially with all this Oscar controversy, I thought the thing we could contribute would be diverse opinions. So,
okay.
Today, of course, we're going to jump into The Martian. And since this is about you, fire away with how you would like to tell us about The Martian.
I enjoyed it. I'd seen Interstellar, and I thought, it was going to be kind of similar. I hadn't read the book. I don't know if you'd read the book, but I had not read the book. I had friends who had read it and said they really enjoyed it. And I thought it was a little bit of like Castaway. If Castaway and Gravity had a baby, it would be this. But I really enjoyed Matt Damon. I've always been a Matt Damon fan. And, I feel that it's really tough to carry a movie when you're not reacting or interacting with anybody, like Tom Hanks had done and all these kind of people who are just like Leonardo did this year, it's difficult. And I liked, it never dragged. I liked his humor. I liked the science behind it. I'm not sure if you can actually grow potatoes in your own fecal matter. I don't know, but I just thought it was really interesting, a learning thing. Plus I thought it was really a great movie.
Is there a specific, you mentioned you liked Matt Damon, but was there something else about the movie that you would recommend to people, be it the I don't know, the pacing or the camera work. I mean, obviously being directed by Ridley Scott, we know we're going to get a good movie. Is there something else that really kind of drew your movie loving attention to?
Well, I liked the, I don't know if you want to call it landscape. I thought that was, you know, I kept wondering, you know, I'm always about, after I finish watching a movie, the first thing I do is get up my iPad and IMDb it and look at all the behind-the-scenes stuff, because I thought the landscaping was beautiful. I thought the way it was shot was great. And you know, the redness of the planet, I loved all that, the lighting. And, you know, you can't go wrong with Ridley Scott.
Oh, I mean, yeah, that's such a great statement. I mean, I think he falls as one of those directors where, I mean, this, and on Internet Movie Database, this has an 8.1 rating. That's really high. Just a brief trivia thing that we'll do here. It is nominated, of course, for Best Picture. Matt Damon's up for Best Actor. It's up for Best Screenplay. As you were just describing the scenery and landscape, it's up for Production Design, sound editing, and Visual Effects. And as you mentioned the scenery, the only thing I wanted to say was I kept really thinking that we both know that some heavy effects are probably used, but I kept feeling like they really found this place that was Mars. Like it wasn't like how you remember, kind of like when if you ever went back to Gravity, it became very, mm-hmm. very obvious that it was visual effects. I mean, obviously it was.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
This was like, it made me think like, what desert did they find? And then just use a, you know, a red filter or a red effect. I mean, so the production design, how did you feel about the balancing of that Matt Damon's by himself but still interacts with some other people? I mean, how did you feel that was, did you like the co-stars and the...
Yes, I did. I liked the co-stars. I felt that, you know, they weren't on for a long, long time together, but I felt that there was, you know, some caring and some camaraderie there. I don't know how deliberate it was that Jessica Chastain's part was cast as a female. You know, I don't know in the book if she was a female, but I liked that kind of idea that, you know, that there'd be a woman in charge. And I thought there was just a little bit of humor, and I loved just that kind of running theme of her music that just kept making him crazy. You know, that every once in a while that would come on and you just start to laugh at them, thinking, it's like, oh my God, I'm stuck with this forever. But I like that. I thought it was kind of funny because that was my era. I liked that music too, but I really liked it. But for me, I think what happens, at least to me nowadays, is when I watch movies, is I automatically go to, oh, that must be CG. So I think with all this CG stuff that's out there, I don't always assume, oh, they must have found a beautiful place. I thought, it's in a studio somewhere. So it's really kind of hard to go, oh, really? That was actually a real place? That's even more awesome now. Now you want to go back and watch it a second time because you keep thinking, I automatically go to CG, and it's too bad. And, you know, and I don't watch movies the way that some people do. Like when you mentioned sound editing, I don't even think about that. Like, I'm like, sound editing, I might think of a soundtrack, but I don't think that way, you know, sound editing. I might think about the way scenes were shot and the lighting, but I would never think about sound editing. People look at movies different ways. I'm kind of a big picture kind of, did I enjoy it? And I know people like you who love, you know, the nuts and bolts of movies look at it differently. And that's why I love reading stuff that you write. So I'm like, oh yeah, I never looked at it that way.
Oh, well, thank you for that. I mean, because for those of you that don't know, it's such a great supporting cast, which some of these roles I feel are like, it's almost like they would do a small, They would only take a role this small because it's Ridley Scott, because it's like you have Jeff Daniels and you have, of course, Jessica Chastain from Zero Dark Thirty.
Yeah.
You have Michael Pena, who was so great in World Trade Center, and you have Kate Mara from House of Cards. And actually, when I was watching this movie, you know, it's not a spoiler alert, but the you know, one of the young NASA people that helps them, my mother said, I think that guy's Danny Glover's son. And as I look at it now, it says that it's Donald Glover. So for those of you that want to experience the next generation of Danny Glover, his son is in this film. I can't tell you what he does because it would spoil it. But I thought that was an interesting call. And Jessica Chastain, I thought, like you said, her humor was great. I mean, she's a fantastic actress anyways. And when you mentioned Interstellar, that was one I skipped because of my eye condition with epilepsy. And I keep wanting to grab it at the library, but I keep having to think, you know, I don't want to watch a half hour, then turn it off and then go back. And did you, on your scale of, you know, not a 1 to 10 to be cliche, but is this something that you would put on your, you know, definitely see it while you have a chance on the big screen, don't wait for DVD? Where do you stand on that?
Yeah, I would get, because there's a lot of movies, I would think, something, for example, like Creed. I have no desire to rush out and see that. That'll be a Netflix kind of thing. But when you see something like that big, I think sometimes you have to really see it on a big screen. And I would definitely see that. Now, unfortunately for me, I didn't. I had to see it on Netflix, on demand. But I would have preferred to have seen it on a big screen, most definitely.
Yeah, since you said you saw it on demand, I'm yet to do that because I know that there's a, you know, we're quick to know, like you said, Creed is definitely not a big screen movie. But since I've yet to watch a movie on TV that's still in theaters, since we're on the topic of The Martian, what is that like?
What you mean, watching it from home?
Yeah, like, I mean, because you've been through the, you know, the drive-in and beta and VHS and laser. Sorry, I mean, I didn't know.
But this is true. But here's the thing. I love movies, and I bet I see 70% of movies I'll go by myself because I only work part-time. And I probably, since January, I have probably seen, I mean, I'm not you, but I've probably seen 12 or 13 movies in the theater.
Oh,
because this is the time of year. Something like I saw 4 in 1 week because I just had to start, you know, once the nominations came out, I just had to see them. I saw 2 in 1 day because I really liked the theater experience. But by the time I got around to having, I realized that The Martian wasn't even in the theaters anymore. And then my husband wanted to watch it. So it's not my first choice to watch it at home. I prefer the big theater experience, but it wasn't out in theaters anymore. So for me to see it, I had to see it on demand.
Okay, I see. Yeah, because we're getting, and actually in the last couple of weeks, for the people that have been following on the show, and I've gotten a few people have asked me, I just basically had a knee surgery, so that's why I think I went to the cinema like 10 or 12 times in the last 3 weeks, and it got to just be normal. And then there's a theater near me that's it's going out of business. It's not like a rundown theater. It is second run, but now they have $1.50 Sundays. So it's like,
oh, you can't, yeah.
You know, you can now go and see a double feature for $3, even go with your friend or your husband, wife, whatever, and spend $6, which, let's face it, is less than a matinee ticket for one person.
Yeah. And for me, so, there are so many movies this year that are nominated that are not big screen, you know, cinema things. They're these art house ones. And, you know, I had to, I had to see a lot of these at, you know, this little totally volunteer-run theater in Tacoma. And, you know, it's $5. You get a free popcorn if you're a member, and the entire place is run by volunteers. And the theaters are maybe, you know, 60 seats, but they just run these very art. And you know, it kills me that, you know, some of these blockbuster movies are being shown in these cinemas where there's, you know, 9 out of the 12 theaters are showing the same movie. And, you know, and I've got to drive 30 minutes to see, you know, Carol or Room or, you know, some of these more, what we call art, what I call an art film, your basic, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I'm going to be watching Carol and the Danish Girl later today on demand. And those were ones that I just kind of, when I got wrapped up in the Best Picture nominee thing or the Best Actor nominee thing, you know, I watched Concussion, I watched Hateful Eight, and I decided to just say, you know, I never, like you were saying, once the nominations come out, to us movie junkies, it's like the Super Bowl.
Yeah, for me, the Oscars for me is my Super Bowl. You don't talk to me on Oscar Sunday. You don't talk to me when the Golden Globes are on. You don't talk to me when the SAGs are on. No, you better be bleeding or having heart palpitations to pull me away from my TV on those nights. Absolutely. Yeah. And I tell you, this is the year for some great, great movies for men. I mean, I think Leo's going to win. But I think poor Eddie Redmayne, he was phenomenal. But I just think it's Leo's year. I think he's been overlooked. I don't think Matt Damon's going to win because I just think there's too many other better performances. But this was a really good year for men in film. Absolutely.
Yeah, I was thinking there was the year that that Joaquin Phoenix was up for Johnny Cash and Seymour Hoffman won for Capote, but. David Strathairn was up for playing Edward R. Murrow, and
yeah.
Heath Ledger was up for Brokeback Mountain, and that was one of those years where I thought, you know, there's almost like 4 out of 5 I would have been okay with, and so I'm really looking forward to The Danish Girl, because I've watched, of course, Leo is my favorite and the choice for this year, and I think he has been overlooked. Even going back to Gilbert Grape, how amazing he was. But yeah, with just one more thing, since you mentioned Matt Damon and we're discussing The Martian and you said you're a fan, do you have another Matt Damon film that you could recommend or that you would recommend if someone asked you about Matt Damon?
Well, I mean, The Departed, he was so good in that. And of course, you know, I think everybody loves Good Will Hunting, but you know, I didn't see his one where he played the twin with Greg Kinnear. I didn't even Netflix that one. You know, I can't remember what it was called.
It was called Stuck on You.
Stuck, right. That you know didn't even come across my radar. But I thought he was really good in The Departed because he's got this reputation. I feel of being this, you know, cute. Nice kind of Meg Ryan kind of as a man, you know, everybody likes him. And so to see him play a bad guy. I thought that was a really juicy role for him. I thought no wonder he probably got a big kick out of playing that. Plus that was such a great ensemble movie. Holy cow. Every time that comes on TV, I watch that. Everybody in that movie is so great. Everybody. I really thought Matt Damon was super in that.
Yeah, Matt, that is one of Matt, I was surprised that they, you know, that to me was one of those films where, I mean, there's multiple films like Network and Streetcar Named Desire.
Oh, yeah.
You really go through the books where they got a nomination each category. And of course, I think The Godfather and Godfather 2 is the only one to have like 2 or 3 guys in the same category. But The Departed was one of those ones where you take, you know, Matt Damon, Mark Wahlberg got the nomination and Jack did. Leo and Matt Damon were left aside. Leo got a nomination for Blood Diamond. But that was one of those where you could have really, like, said, given, like, 2 each to each category.
Yeah.
I mean, that ensemble was just superb, and what it must have been like for those guys at the time, because that was pushing out 10 years what it was like for those younger guys to be around Jack all the time and learn from him and that experience. So the last thing that I wanted to ask you that we're going to have each guest do is, it could be this category, since you already mentioned that you are rooting for Leo. Is there another category or a best picture or another performance where you would like to see that film or person win the Oscar?
Well, I thought that Brie Larson was really great in the room. And the chemistry, she and that, first of all, I thought that little boy, Jacob Tremby, whatever, he was amazing. And I thought to pull that kind of emotion out of a child like that. So I thought she was really great. And I thought, and I can't remember her name, but the woman who plays Eddie Redmayne's wife, Ivanka, the Danish girl. I can't remember her name.
I'll have to check that out today. That was, Brie Larson won the SAG Award, and that's usually...
Right, but the other lady, won, the one that was on the other night, what was that? The Critics' Choice. She won for Best Supporting Actress the other night, so that was the SAG Awards. And her name was like Ivanka or Ivanka something, but she was really great as Eddie Redmayne's wife. I think she was also in a movie called, Machine, something. I hadn't seen it, but I just remember reading about it. But I thought she was great. And when she won the SAG Award the other night, that made me think, maybe she'll win the Oscar. I bet she was better than Rooney Mara, because I think she played a much more of an emotional arc in that movie. I think Rooney Mara was good, but I think she was a little one note for me in Carol, but I thought this woman in the Danish Girl, I think she deserves the Best Supporting Actress.
Oh, okay, yeah, the name is Alicia Vikander.
Yes, something, I don't know if she's, I don't know what nationality she is, but I'd never seen her before, and I'm a huge movie person, I'd never seen her.
Yeah,
she was amazing in that.
I'm really interested in Eddie Redmayne, simply not just because he won last year, but because in all honesty, I felt so foolish because there was so much attention on Michael Keaton and some of the others that when they said Eddie Redmayne, I said, who the heck is that? And I felt foolish because I was like, I hadn't seen The Theory of Everything. And I was going through some life transitions. And so I wasn't up on all the nominees. And then I went, wait a minute, somebody I haven't even heard talked about in articles won, and we went the next day to the $3 theater, and I went, oh, okay, this was better, to me, this was better than Birdman, and this was interesting. So yeah, I'm actually, when we're done today, I'm going to be starting The Danish Girl, so I'm glad that you brought that up. So,
amazing, and yeah, I love that. Now, talking about that woman who's in it, who's up for Best Supporting Actress, my other thought is, I thought Rachel McAdams did not deserve a Best Supporting Actress nomination for the Spotlight, because I'm like, okay, it seemed to me like they were reaching. Oh, we've got to nominate blank amount of people. So yeah, I didn't walk away from there going, wow, she was amazing. It was Rachel McAdams. And it wasn't her as much as it was the part. It wasn't anything fabulous. It was nothing compared to the woman from Danish Girl. Absolutely nothing. I mean, she can't even carry her makeup bag. Yeah.
Right.
I didn't think that was the right nomination.
I'm going with Kate Winslet in Spotlight. She was superb. And she was, I just really enjoyed it. And, you know, for me, as we wrap this up, I was thinking today, you know, they always take that picture of the four Oscar winners, and it was sad that year how it was Sean Penn for Milk and Heath Ledger wasn't there for his Oscar for The Joker. And I thought it's going to be so interesting this year because, in my personal opinion, Stallone is nowhere near the quality of actor of Leo. And I just think that if he wins for Creed, it's just going to be so interesting to see that, you know, for film buffs and people like us that look back in a film history book 10 years from now, it's not like we're going to be seeing Carl Malden and someone from, you know, on the waterfront standing next to him. We're going to see a guy who's only played Rocky, Rambo, and Expendable.
Yeah.
This is Leo, who has, I think, one movie out of like 25 that I don't like, and it just didn't work for some reason. What movie was that? It was called Body of Lies. It had Russell Crowe and...
Yeah.
It's directed by Ridley Scott, so it actually works. Just for some reason, I didn't enjoy it. And I usually like anything Ridley Scott. But we want to thank you for joining us today and being a part of this series. And
that was awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, and we're planning some Oscar pre-show stuff and some Oscar post-show Oscar stuff. And anyone that comes on is welcome back in the future. So, you know, if you see something and you'd like to review it and we're going to be doing reviews for it, you know how to get a hold of me, let me know. We want to open this up to everyone and not make it just be about filmmakers, and because we all just love movies. So we're just here to talk
movies. Absolutely. And my husband is not a huge movie fan, which is why I go most of the time by myself. But I do love movies. Yeah, that was a family thing. That was something like we were big movie buffs in my family.
I appreciate
you having me on.
My dad's I used to think the only thing my dad knew how to say is what comes out this Friday. So
my sister is retired, and she goes every Wednesday with her girlfriends. They go out, you know, they see a movie, have martinis, have dinner. So one day we text each other, what did you see today? And actually one day, because she lives in Atlanta, we're actually seeing the same movie at the same time. So she's a huge film buff too. And, you know, has a small art house where she sees. So I've seen all the movies nominated and almost all the movies that the people are in that are nominated. Trumbo, I have not seen. But everything else I've seen. So I'm really looking forward to the Oscars.
Okay, yeah, if you can see Trumbo, that's a great one. So definitely check that out. I mean, Cranston's amazing, and he just does an amazing job. So yeah.
It's not out. It's not out here, and it doesn't come out on Netflix until after the Oscars. So I'm kind of in this gray area where I can't. It's not in the theaters out here, and it's not, so I can't see it. Yeah.
Okay, because I had a year one year where I saw the year of 12 Years a Slave. I saw every Best Picture nominee, and I thought, my gosh, I saw 9 of 10. And I thought, the only one I didn't see was 12 Years a Slave, and they opened up the envelope, and I went, really?
For me, that's my goal. The minute I go, and I literally make a list, cross them off. So my goal is at every Oscar, and I sit for the Oscar, I've seen them all. So I figured this way, some people vote statistically and look at, you know, trends. I vote because I've seen them all. So that's the thing of mine. That's like a goal. I got to see all these movies. So I have to hunt down Trumbo somehow. I don't know if I have to drive into Seattle to see it, but I got to see it.
Oh, that's fantastic. I love that you say that, because I have an Oscar list. Movies I have to watch for this show, a personal list, and a recommendation list. I actually have 4 separate notebooks, so I love to hear that you do that.
Always
nice to talk to a fellow film buff. So you have a wonderful afternoon, and we look forward to the next time you're on the show.
Absolutely, and enjoy the Danish roll today.
Okay, thank you so much. Take care.
Okay, see you there. Sure thing. Bye-bye.
Of course, we always want to thank our guest. Lovely, wonderful conversation with a family friend that happens to be a big film buff that we share many Facebook messages and discussions about film over. And I thought, you know, we got to bring her on the show. So with that, I want to thank you guys for joining us. Tomorrow we will be doing The Revenant. Again, Thursday, Star Wars. Friday, Steve Jobs. They'll be posted on our Facebook page, Talking Pictures, or if you know me, my personal page, Paul K. Booth. And also you can go to the website, because if you don't know me, you're not going to be a Facebook friend of mine, which is, you already know it because you're listening. So thank you so much for your time. Have a great day. And like I always say, no matter what you do, make sure and watch a good movie tonight. Aloha.
Thank you for listening to the Talking Pictures Podcast, real conversation and movie-induced inspiration.